Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening and welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd, and I'm here tonight with my co-host, Dr. Kate, and Red Beckman. Who have we got on?
And Dr. Kate is here with you and awaiting Red.
Well, super. How's your week been, Kate?
Oh, kind of hectic. I'm looking forward to talking about it tonight as we talk about how our behavior can be like his likeness anyway. So it'll be a good discussion.
I'm sure it will. So Red's not quite on with us yet, eh?
Not quite yet.
I will open us in prayer, and hopefully by the end of that, he'll be with us.
Very good. Thanks.
Almighty Father in heaven, we just come before you humbly. Especially after looking at your scripture and looking at being created in your image and in your likeness and wondering about the wholeness and the completeness of what that means. And it's certainly challenging for our small minds to grasp your true and complete intent. We recognize your holiness and that you are alone are righteous and true, and we acknowledge you as the creator of everything, and we rely upon you so heavily. So tonight we ask you to open our minds up and to take control of this discussion, that you would show us what your meaning is, that we are made in your likeness or in your image. Help us to understand that, Father. Give us a new knowledge in this discussion. Help us to share with one another in a way that will benefit all of us. And I'm just thankful for my good friends, Dr. Kate and Red Beckman. And I just thank you for that blessing. And I thank you for the listeners. And we pray that there'll be open ears tonight. We ask you to have your spirit go before us and to truly take control of everything that we say and do. It's in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, that we pray. Amen. Well, Kate, Red on with us yet?
Amen. Not yet.
I'm sure he'll be along. How about you start out by giving us a little bit of a report about how your week's been?
It's actually the last 2 weeks have been preoccupied with doing a lot of public education work on what is ultimately about. Is that me?
No, it's Red. I'll mute and I'll be right back.
Okay. I'm working on an issue which is ultimately about Agenda 21 and what it is the creeping takeover of private lands and so forth, and the manipulation of agreements and money and so forth to bring about certain outcomes like the destruction of agricultural land. And so I'm working on this issue and spending a lot of time discussing, talking with people about it, finding out what impacts are about it, what people know, kind of beating back the misinformation that's being put out there. And so it's been a rather interesting week. And I am fortunate enough to be working with some people, which we'll hopefully have on the show next week, who are conducting a battle similar to other communities, like we had Kurt McKenzie on here quite a while ago, and he is continuing, of course, in Save Our Rural America program to battle issues, do the public education that's necessary on land use. This is where things are happening. And Terry, as soon as you're back, it would be great. Hang on one second, please, everyone. There you are.
I am back. Red was having a little bit of trouble calling in. That's right. The reason he was calling me was to make sure everything was okay.
Is it on a Skype line, do you know?
I don't think so. I think he was calling in on his regular phone.
Okay, very good. Well, I'll look for him, and he'll be on as soon as possible. So I just about ran out of things to say when you got back in.
Well, I'm sorry I missed some of it. But tonight, you know, Red brought this suggestion up, and I really kind of wanted him to start the discussion out by talking about what some of the dangers, what some of the hazards are of us not recognizing and being consciously aware on an ongoing basis that we, in fact, are created in God's image, and actually taking advantage of that and acting like it. And I believe he can really start us out right. So I'm hoping he'll be live here shortly.
I'm just wondering. There's another. There's a 917 area code on. If that's Red.
Don't think so.
No. Okay.
Should be a 360.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep an eye out for him, but I think we can go ahead and start. It's image or likeness. What are the different versions say?
Well, let me look at the Geneva here. Genesis 1, starting in verse 26. I'll just read 26, 27, and 28. And the Hebrew in this is kind of interesting because it really doesn't say let us make man in our image, although that's the way it's translated even in the Geneva and the King James both. It really doesn't exactly say that in the Hebrew. It says, furthermore, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the heaven and over the beast and over all the earth and over everything that creepeth and moveth on the earth. Thus God created the man in his image. In the image of God created he him. He created them male and female. And God blessed them. And God said to them, bring forth fruit and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the heaven, and over every beast that moveth upon the earth. So it says both, image according to our likeness. And, you know, the question, you know, there's lots of questions about the scripture, because you could ask a question, for example, was he speaking to himself? You could look at it as Christ and the Holy Spirit being somewhat of separate personalities, although they are one mind, clearly. Was he speaking to them, or was he speaking to the heavenly host when he made that comment? So there's a number of different ways that we can look at that scripture, and I think we have to look at the context of all the other scripture where this is mentioned, in order to really gain some understanding about this. But one thing is certain, and that is that, you know, we are clearly spiritual beings. We not only have a body, but we also have a spirit and a soul. And to that extent, at least, it's my belief that that is what the meaning of this is. But I believe it goes beyond that, and I'm looking forward to getting Red involved in the conversation.
Still not here yet.
I'm
so
hearing
he probably
some
got
other
another call.
I'm hearing some other interference, are you?
No, but do you want to check in again or call him and see if he's able to get in?
Yes, I'll go and do that.
Okay.
So how about you chiming in on what your interpretation of that scripture is?
Well, I'm still thinking about yours. But I think it is very much as you said, and it's internal and external, and it is acting and being in as much of Christ and Christ-like as possible. And words will never explain, I think, really what I'm trying to mean by this. But it is, well, let me put it this way. If we are in his likeness, then it is our spiritual side and its movement and its behavior, if you will, in this form. And if we are in his image, it both means that, but also, I think, physically as well, in his image.
Good evening.
There you are.
Oh, yeah.
Terry?
Yes. Are you hearing Red?
I can hear you.
Kate, are you hearing Red?
Yes.
I can hear you, Terry.
I had to call him on my Skype call and join him in the call to get it on with us.
Good. Well, we just started, Red, and we can start again. Welcome. Nice to hear you. And I got your Christmas card today. It was, what a great picture. Great picture.
Yeah.
Well, Terry had given his view of... Terry, do you want to start again?
I gave an abbreviated view. I read the scriptures of Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 28, Red. And I really hope that you could help us get started with this discussion by sharing a little bit about what are the dangers of not recognizing our being made in God's likeness. And because I know that was a concern of yours, I know you had a sleepless night about this, and I was hoping that you could share a little bit about that and what prompted you to bring this up.
I think it's a very, very important theological truth that we need to grasp, that we need to understand it, because I don't think it's really understood by as many people as should. It says there in Genesis, the first chapter, that God made man in his image, and then it says in his likeness. I don't like the word image, because we've got this mental picture of some kind of a false god sitting on a shelf up in the corner someplace. I like that part where it says in his likeness, in God's likeness. And when we think of God and we think of how creative he is, this should make every one of us think about, if we're in his likeness, we're to be creative too. Isn't that correct? That's the way I see it. And so in his likeness, and he's creative, and if a person is creative, he will be productive, he will create things that are pleasing to God. And I believe that we have talked quite a bit in a few weeks back, and in particular about how Satan has a way of counterfeiting. He has no creativity, but he comes up with all kinds of counterfeits. And so after the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, of course, they still had that likeness of their Heavenly Father, the Creator, at their disposal. They had creativity. They went out and they had to get the living, make a living from the soil and such, and from the environment. And we as people today are still being created in the likeness of our Heavenly Father. However, Lucifer, not having any creative powers, if mankind becomes evil in his creativity, mankind can do that. He can misuse the creative powers that our Heavenly Father put within us. And so we've got a world full of people out there that are creative, but they're creative in a very evil way. They're using their creative powers to create so much evil. Our planet is under siege, you might say, because of all of the people out there that have not recognized the source, where their creative powers come from, who has given them that tremendous power to create. And I said for many years that the people that created the atomic bomb made a terrible, terrible mistake, because they not only created the atomic bomb, but they gave control of what they had created, they gave it to political animals in governments all over the planet. And, of course, when we were studying and thinking, discussing Satan and his counterfeits, and we went to the temptation of Christ when he came out of the wilderness after his 40-day fast in the wilderness. Lucifer took him up on a high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the earth, and he said, "I will give you these kingdoms if you will bow down and serve me." It was an offer. Satan made an offer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, Satan, there in Luke chapter 6, 4, or 4, 4, it's chapter 4, 6, verse 6, when he offered the kingdoms of the earth to Christ, he said, "These were presented to me." He had enough power, God-given power, by the way, to claim that the kingdoms of the earth were his. And this is what we're up against today in the world we live in today. We have a state of chaos worldwide, and we have a state of chaos in Washington, D.C., and in most of our, if not all of our state capitals. There's a lot of confusion there. There's a lot of confusion at the county level, the city level, and there's a lot of confusion and discord right in the homes, in the families of people on planet Earth. And most of that, I think, if not all of it, can be, excuse me, most of that can be attributed to mankind misusing, misapplying the powers that God put within all of us, because he created us in his likeness. And so I'll stop there, but we've got a lot more to look at here. And I'll stop here and back to you, Terry, and Dr. Kate. It's good to be back and get on the program.
Kate, would you like to follow up that comment?
What I can say is that in terms of at least my initial impression to this and what my experience has been this week is if you forget that basic piece of being made in his likeness and his image and that aspect of productivity, then you are living really a destructive life. And it becomes a measure of not only your own behavior, are you doing things that are productive and creative, if you will, in a positive way, or are you miscreating by working, you know, the nuclear bomb thing? So it becomes a good measure and evaluation of not only what you're doing, but what other people are doing. And when you look at, as I look at my situation here with the thing that I'm working on, I see a tremendous destructive force in individuals and as a group, and not even conscious of the destruction that's happening. Then I see the other side of this, which is regular people, and needing to go in a positive and creative way to find a way out of this destructive approach. So I'm not making that much sense, but for me it's a guide to how you counter that non-productive, non-creative stuff. Is you hit it not with the same thing, but with a different kind of energy. And so I'm thinking it's a guideline. So that's my follow-up, and I'll turn it over to you.
Well, again, I see this as a hugely complex issue. And like Red often teaches us, we need to try to reduce this to some kind of simple form that we can kind of hone in on what the real importance of this is. Just like that one gentleman read that was kind of a newbie Christian and read Revelations, and you were concerned about what he was going to say or you know how that might have messed with him a little bit. And what he said was, well, what I got out of that book is that we better be ready, that we better live our life so that we're ready no matter what, when he comes or, you know, when the end of this thing is, and when he calls us and comes time to judge us, we'd better be ready. And I think we need to kind of hone in on this in that way. And I'm reminded of C.S. Lewis's comment about that we are not just mortal creatures, that we are in fact, we're not just physical beings that have a spiritual element, but in fact we are spiritual beings that are experiencing this physical mortal life. And I think that's kind of what we have to really hone in on this, because if we are mindful that, first of all, that he created us, and second, that he created us in his image, it lends itself to the thought that we have an opportunity at eternal life, that there's something well beyond just this physical experience that we're going through. And as a result of that, we recognize that there are bigger and more important things than our instant gratification or our instant fix, if you will. That, you know, this concept of always having to have a reason to be happy, for example, is really such a fleeting thing, and so many people accept second best, third best, fourth best, instead of grabbing hold of what the greatest part of our life is, and that is accepting a relationship and our need for our Creator, and then acting like that in everything that we do, so that when that time does come about, whether this mortal body ends its time on this earth or the day of the Lord comes, that we are prepared to accept the present and gift that God has given us of eternal life, and that is where the more important things lie. Not our instant fix, not, you know, what we can get for us today. You know, He's going to provide that daily bread, but He's going to provide so much more for us. He's going to provide an opportunity to experience relationships at a level we can't even imagine. He's going to take away the tears. He's going to take away the result of sin in this life for us. And if we put that in front of what we think and what we do, then it changes everything about the way we treat other people. It changes our real self-respect. We recognize that we don't need to meet certain standards in this life in order to feel good about ourselves or about our future, because God's going to control that future, and He's got a much better plan for us than we could ever dream of. And so by basically shutting off our communications to Him, by not recognizing how strong our spiritual element is, then we do things in a cheap way, in a cheapened way, we just sell ourselves out. Is that coming across? Am I leaving anybody cold, or am I getting it more to a simple form?
Terry, I think that you're talking about where we're going, I hope, by the end of this program. Because I think that we've talked to Dr. Tate, especially, has talked about the gift of discernment. If we understand the difference between the creativity of a person that is serving the true God, worshiping the true God, and living for the true God, and doing what He would have us to do, we can recognize that. And then when we see somebody, you see, when Lucifer made that offer to the Lord Jesus Christ that He would give him the kingdoms of the earth, he's been offering that same offer. He's been making that same offer to a lot of people. And I think we could name some people that have, accepted that offer, that statement said, I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. I think that in our lifetimes, we're all old enough to remember some of the outlaws, the tyrants, the political outlaws that have painted some bloody pictures of what they can do, and our discernment, you see, should be, you might say, cultivated and sharpened when we see this kind of thing, when we see people that are using the God-given gift of creativity. And we find people that are letting Lucifer gain by these people, and they're creating evil. I think of Las Vegas, Nevada, a place where people go for entertainment and such, but how many people go there so that they can be, their lives can be enriched and improved by, you know, exposure to God's people and God's message, what God would have us to be. It's a place that just oozes evil. It's just so dominant in that city, and of course, all the lights just 24 hours a day. It's bright lights and everything, and you take the games that are played there. You see, the slot machine, of course, is a mechanism that somebody or people were using the creative, God-given creativity to create these machines cause people to, some people become addicted to the things and this type of thing. It's evil. And I mentioned the atomic bomb, but that's the ultimate creative power, the ultimate damage, I guess you could say. But we're confronted on a daily basis with all kinds of things at our level. People who are just out and out shysters, and we know they're shysters in more ways than one. And we have to be alert when we're functioning in the likeness of our Creator. We're going to be able to discern when we've encountered the satanic powers that have not come from Satan, but they've come through his people that have knelt down to worship him, and they can create so much mischief and so much bad, and we need to recognize the source. When we see evil, we need to be able to identify where it's coming from and how come this is happening. We need to have that so that our discernment system is fine-tuned and we can recognize it. And, of course, you see, in the day in which we're living, and I think we have discussed some of this, but it has come up how that organized religion is a trap. I've talked about it more than once, about the confusion that we see in the religious world, all these different religions, and they all claim to be right and everybody else is wrong. And if we have our senses fine-tuned, that's when we recognize that Satan is the god of confusion. And when we see this confusion in the religious world, we know exactly where it's coming from. We know the source. And so being able to identify the source makes us better capable of recognizing what it is, and then we can help others to not make the mistake of getting embroiled in false theology and things like this. And so there's more to this, of course, and we'll get into it here. I mentioned to you, I think, Terry, when I talked to you the last time, several days ago, that the kingdoms of the earth, God created mankind in his likeness. And governments, they will create. They have the power to create because of the people that run these corporations and such. And I'm thinking of the Enron Corporation and what that corporation was doing. And here the head of the corporation was a good denominational religionist. The mischief that they were up to, you see, the church world to this day, I don't think you'll find anybody, I can't think of anybody, I don't remember hearing anybody, talking about the fact that that corporation and the deceit, the deception and all that was so visible, that was a direct result of people misusing the gift that God had put within us when we were created. And so I'll stop there because for me, this is a very critical, the theology here is something that we really should be able to, improve our lives and our Christian experience by understanding it. So I'll back to you, Terry.
Well, should we maybe look at a few other scriptures that may give us some insight into this? I still struggle with this because I don't feel confident that I really have. I've taught a class on this before, and it was a challenge for me to because I didn't feel like I really had a thorough understanding of this, and I'm not sure I will until I meet Jesus one day and he can explain this to me. I think we've got to keep it a little bit on a simple plane so that we can simply take the highest and best use of this, if you will. And we've got this problem that people are so wrapped up in satisfying their physical needs and their emotional needs, which are really still a part of this mortal existence, that they just can't seem to grasp the spiritual battle that's going on. Kate and I had a conversation, a brief conversation earlier in a chat that, people can't grasp even how broad the influence of the Luciferian banksters is. They can't really perceive how much mayhem can be created by somebody when they're not trying to do anything productive, because they spend all their time trying to figure out how to reclaim God's creation, because they're doing Satan's bidding instead of God's bidding. And they come up with this counterfeit money, and they come up with all these counterfeit plans to mess with us. And people just can't grasp that these people control everything that they control. They just think it's some kind of conspiracy theory. And I think it really boils down to this very thing. If they recognize the depth of the spiritual battle that we're in, I believe it would make a huge difference in that we could somehow get this Patriot movement to have some kind of synergy and focus, because they would recognize what we really should be going after and what where we should be setting our boundaries. And then we could actually have a group of people who are going to accomplish something, because they would put God out in front. They would carry him to the battles. And we're not doing that. And I think this concept of recognizing how our Creator made us and how much authority and sovereignty he really delegated to us as a part of this, it would make a huge difference. You know, I'm looking right now at Job 38. And God's talking to Job. He says, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line over it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof set? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the stars of the morning praised me together. Now remember, stars are angels are frequently referred to as stars. He says, when the stars of the morning, or the morning stars, praised me together, and all the children of God rejoiced. Or who has shut up the sea with doors when it issued and came forth out of the womb? When I made the clouds as a covering thereof, and darkness as the swaddling bands thereof, when I established my commandment upon it, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no farther, and here shall it stay, thy proud waves. This is the God we're talking about. And we are the his creation that he is talking to here. We don't have a clue about this stuff other than what he's telling us in his word and what he shares with us through his spirit. Yet we ignore all of that and we go out each day trying to get a fix, find happiness somehow on our own, and we expect the government of Luciferians to somehow make our life better. So we're willing to succumb to that and set no boundaries there and accept the garbage that they pass out. And we, as a result of it, we treat other people like they're just another one of the accidents that happened in the animal kingdom. How in the world can we possibly come together and ask God to go before us and ask him to provide that divine providence to turn this country around if we don't acknowledge that it's him that's sustaining us? I think that's the message we've got to get out of this question of what is it to be in his likeness? Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me, straighten me out or expand my thinking here. Kate, you're pretty good at straightening me out.
let me say that this is the kind of discussion that we need, you see, because this is spiritual ground that really hasn't been, used to help people to become better, more creative, more productive, as God would have us to be. I think that... it just hasn't been taught out here that you have to be watching everything that's going on around you in your society that you're living in, and you have to be able to discern that which is, promoting or building on Lucifer's kingdom. This isn't something that we really had to deal with, or we didn't deal with it, I should say, because we really didn't grasp what it's all about. That we need to be able to recognize the difference between what God would have us to have and have us to be, rather than, you know, what the other side, the dark side. Some people call it the dark side. I think that's a good way to put it lots of times. The dark side out there, they're all around us. They're in the churches. They're every place. The education system, I'll never forget the night that we were on and Dr. Kate brought out, we were talking about the counterfeit, the satanic counterfeits, and she brought out how that the education systems out there that we have, so much of it is counterfeit, satanic counterfeit. And I hadn't thought of that at all. I just had never looked at that particular area. I've looked at a lot of different areas out there where Satan has really had things going his way in so many ways. And I've seen those, but the education system. I was talking to a retired educator who had spent his entire life, working life, in as an administrator in a large public school system, and we were talking about the political situation. This was shortly after the last election, and it came up how that people say we have a do-nothing Congress. And someone told me today, they said the credibility rating of the Congress is something like 10%. Obama enjoys a higher credibility rating, I guess, and I don't know how they figure that. But anyway, somebody figures it out, I guess. And I told this educator, I said, you really should understand what's wrong with the U.S. Congress. You should understand why they're not getting anything done. And I was talking to him on the phone. I'd like to see his expression about that time, because it didn't take me long to figure out that he hadn't really been approached on this one before. And this kind of thing, and I said, you should understand why we have a do-nothing Congress, and that is that they are all products, they are all victims of a school system, the same kind of education system that we are a product of or a victim of. Most of us had got our elementary or middle school education and high school. We got it all in a government school for the most part. And we were just not given the lessons that we should have been given, and as a result, they were able to teach us that we have a democracy, and there's never been a democracy in all history that has been successful or made life any better for anybody. Democracies have never worked in all of history. And I said, the problem in Washington, D.C. right now is that they all went to the same kind of schools we went to, and they're trying to make the system work the way they were taught that it was supposed to work. And you just think about it, and I think that I think I'm correct on this. They are, they're just so involved in partisan politics and such, and you see confusion. You see confusion every place. When you get to Washington, D.C., I've been there, and I've just felt the evil in that city. I've been there, and I've discussed things with the political animals there, and I find that it's so much confusion. Well, it's a direct result of the God of confusion and how he works and uses people. And so, and of course, you see, Lucifer, he likes it when people self-destruct. He likes it when we send troops, soldiers into Iraq and Afghanistan and the flag-draped coffins, they come back. And that's right up Lucifer's goal is to, and of course we've all heard about Agenda 21 on these programs, and you know, they're talking about they want to thin down the population on the planet by 80 to 90% or thereabouts. These are all things that we hear about them, we read about them, and all, and we just so many times do not recognize the satanic powers that are behind it, and the fact that those satanic powers are causing people to create and produce more confusion. They, Hollywood, my goodness, what a mess that Hollywood is, and how they create all those movies and the pornography and all the rest of it. How many of us have really, you know, recognized when we hear about these things and see them happening, how that those people that have created these books that they make in the movies, Broadway shows and all the rest of it, they are misusing, they're misapplying, they're letting Luciferian influence come in and cause them to create more evil, and more evil. And so I don't know, I've probably gone astray here a little bit, but I think that I hope there's people out there tonight that from now on, after this program, they will be more aware of the fact that we need to be able to discern, you know, what is causes, what's the root cause of all this confusion and such that we see in the world, and do we remind ourselves on a daily basis that Satan is the god of this world, and he is the god of confusion. So I'll go back to you, Terry. We haven't heard anything from Dr. Kate here for a bit.
Well, Kate, would you like to comment at this point?
Yeah. What a great discussion. I agree. It's terrain that, you know, is stuff we need to discuss. Now, I agree, Terry, entirely that if you don't recognize the greatness and the magnitude of God's love and what he has all done, and what Jesus has suffered, you're never going to be in his likeness or his image or even know what that might be. And I don't pretend to know either, but I like the different aspects of Scripture that show us that on this earth, even though this is just temporary, it is, he created us for something here. I personally believe that all of us right now that are here right now are here for this very reason, to witness his coming, as well as to help it come along and to grow into the Christians that we really can be. So we started out talking about being in God's image and his and his likeness is about creativity, is about production and creativity. And what Satan does, of course, is create the counterfeit. So he's going to have a counterfeit system of production and creativity. Some of the stuff that Red was talking about, the porn and of course, the nuclear bomb. And, of course, anyone who's working on biological agents to, you know, to kill us and so forth is using their stuff in the wrong way. I think we've mentioned many times Red with such conviction about the washing machine being a real good example right here and now of using, you know, the creativity and our productive capabilities. So first the recognition and the appreciation, and I think there is a step before the discernment, and that is that word that we almost never use, but I'm going to use it, as Red said once before, and that is sin. And we recognize that gift, first of all, that we recognize our sin, and we really have to repent from those things. And again, for me, so many times, it's almost daily repentance, not only for things in the past, but even slight things now that, you know, before I wouldn't even really think anything about it, but they're just the little things that add up to, you know, to larger behavior and so forth. But so then recognizing that and, you know, being forever grateful for his mercy, forever grateful, and his allowance of our time here and the gifts that he gives each one of us, then I believe at that time then, to be in his likeness, yes, is not only to be creative and productive, but as Red was saying, the discernment. Because there's so many scriptures, so much of scripture, for example, I think in Thessalonians, that confusion would be rampant and disillusionment, and, you know, it would be sent to people. People would be willingly confused. There's that, remember we were talking about the Canyon Ministries, the Ministry of the Colorado River System? They had a piece, I can't remember where that scripture is, Terry, but it talked about not, you know, believing everything that humans say and create, and viewpoints, and it was perfect for the Grand Canyon because, you know, the two different views, distinctly different views of how it was created sort of says everything about discernment, and that goes to education, because our education system has been designed, I think, to prevent our discernment of these other things. So the discernment then, and the let no man lead you astray, and that to be watchful, all of those things are derived from first that acceptance and that understanding, as you spoke about, Terry, and then from using our gifts to look out for these things. And then you keep saying to keep it simple, and I agree. And for me, the simplicity boils down to, as I was talking about in the beginning of my show, of the show here tonight, excuse me, that the situation I'm dealing with now, when I look at it from that perspective of being productive, productively creative, you know, doing things, you know, for life, and things that God would want for us, as, again, you quoted from Scripture, is that what I see is in this, you know, policies, natural resource policies that we're dealing with here is actually being, it's a counterfeit creative. They think they're creating these new things by signing these deals and so forth, but they're actually not. It's actually very destructive work that's going on. It's destroying things. And again, trying to keep it simple and what do you do with that if you are working in his likeness and taking that to your everyday, and with the situation I'm in, is to counter that negativity with something very productive, authentically productive and creative. And by not choosing to focus on the negativity energy of that other side, it's a whole different way to, you know, not get sucked into that battle and, you know, the stuff that goes on between opposing parties on anything, but to really take a different, what I would call the higher road, which is real creation and productivity. And I think we have talked about earlier that Agenda 21 is the false, it's the counterfeit New World Order, because there is a New World Order, but that is Christ's world order. That is God's. That's and one religion. That's what that is. But this New World Order and this movement of Islam and excuse me, all these things strikes me as, you know, as we talked about, the counterfeit. So again, bringing this down to where I am right now, what are the practical effects of this New World Order thing? It destroys things that have been existing for a long time. It destroys things, institutions, family farms, towns, cities, public enjoyment, you know, of things, productivity. It destroys the productivity. So again, you discern. You can say, oh, that's just the environmental movement, and that's just, you know, what can be bad about, you know, conserving land and water? Well, if it goes against creation, it is bad. And so I think the broad spectrum that we're talking about here is very important, the keeping simple. And why are we here on this earth right now, not just to wait for his coming, not just to wait for it, although we must wait for it, but, you know, we are to be productive, multiply, go forth, grow, subdue, move. So we are here to be that in his likeness. And where the rub is, where the nux of this is you have to believe, you have to know, as you were saying right at the beginning, because only through knowing God and our Savior and appreciating that and understanding as much as we possibly humanly can everything that Christ went through for us here, only by understanding that can we gain any appreciation or any idea of the need to be discerning. I say those people who go out that we're talking about with all these films and all this entertainment in Las Vegas and all that stuff don't even know, not only do they not have a clue about our Creator, but they don't even know that they should be discerning right now. That's their role. That's what should be happening right now. That is the challenge. That is the spiritual growth that we understand. So then finally, not to get so wrapped up on this level that we don't understand that the evil truly is in high places, wickedness in high places, and this is a spiritual battle. And that, again, leads to different strategies in terms of what you do, quote, in your normal life of fighting these guys, you know, or moving forward, what you do to hit at the spiritual elements of that counterfeit. So I feel like I've gone off way on, I don't know, a cliff or whatever, but at least it's not the fiscal cliff. But that's what I have to say right now about what I think is a very interesting discussion.
Kate, did you see what I posted on your blog today from James McCanney's site? And I'm not saying that James is necessarily a model of discernment, but he certainly brings some levity to some of the insanity in the scientific community. Did you happen to see that?
I did not. I was busy all day and haven't even been on my blog today.
I think it's relevant. I don't think it's a distraction from this conversation. I think it's right on. Let me, now I'm hearing that interference again. You're not hearing that, are you, Kate?
Nope.
I'll just act like I don't hear it. Let me read a little bit of what McCanny said on his site. This is his 2012 statement. He says, "Will the world end on December 21st, 2012? No. Was there ever any basis for the incredible amount of press this issue has gotten? No. It was simply a well-constructed disinformation ploy started almost a decade ago to destroy the real issues of topics like Planet X issue, that there are many Planet X objects, and yes, they can and will someday affect our planet and other planets. They will not appear as large round balls in the sky. They will not crash into Earth, but affect us at a distance and will appear as large raging comets. The amount of effort put into the 2012 End of the World campaign, which is led, as expected, to the NASA white hats riding in to save the day with their phony Tier 2 garbage science, was more than predictable. But billions of people will be fooled. And that was the plan all along. Since the 2003 crazy lady talks to aliens, Planet X is going to kill us all. Similar constructed disinformation campaign did not have the global effect that was intended. Brought to you by the same disinformation crew, it is a long and complex story, but the simple answer is that the people who run this planet are deathly afraid that the public in mass would someday wake up to the real issues and start turning their attention from all the phony issues that are tossed at you every day on the BS news media that dominate every fabric of our information age. Says the elite would lose control. That is the story. Essential to this control, as I point out in my latest book, he says, is the never-ending litany of garbage science handed to you by NASA and the standard scientific communities. PhDs and rows and columns all babble the same thing. What you learn from this page he's talking about is the real basis for the working of the solar system, which gives my small audience a basis of knowledge. Well, now, he's not talking about God and the likeness of God here, but the point is the same. It, all of this stuff that we get hit with, and I'm saying this is me now, I'm not reading McCanny anymore, what we get hit with every day are distractions from God and his sovereignty. And the only way that they can control us, as Red has said 1,000 times, is to knock God off the top of the pecking order. Because if we recognize that we, not our government, not even the Constitution, was delegated that sovereignty to go out and subdue the earth, God gave that to us individually. And he made us in his image so that we could take that and do the right thing with it. And man chose to do the wrong thing with it. But if we're conscious of him as the creator and we keep him at the top of that sovereign pecking order, then we set a whole different set of boundaries. We have a whole different set of focus. We're not going to let these people who consider themselves to be gods, which he calls the elite in this article, if we don't consider them to be elite, if we consider only God to be our sovereign, then we're not going to put up with this. We're going to change things. We're not going to accept it. We're not going to let politicians act like politicians and steal our production. You know, I believe that a counterfeit you know, we've been talking a lot about identifying these counterfeits, but counterfeits are not productive. They are counterproductive and, in fact, consuming. They consume the production of others. They consume the very soul of others. And we need to recognize our responsibility to defend our souls and our spirit and stay in touch with that so that we don't let them steal it from us, because it's a gift from God. He gave it to us. He created us in this image, and we have an obligation to hold on to that. Now, I've been rambling. I'll let you guys jump back in.
I think that we have started a discussion that it didn't look that big when we started, did it? But it gets bigger as we go along here, because we're recognizing that we have missed something in our experience, in our lives, that really is quite important, that we recognize that that there are, you know, the kingdoms that Lucifer offered Christ, and then there's the kingdoms that God has, that he has, that are out there, that we were supposed to support. We were supposed to, you know, create and produce for these, you know, godly type of kingdoms. Lucifer has dominated, you might say, the fact that there's a lot of kingdoms on planet Earth, and my goodness, I don't know if there's any of them that really have recognized that there is a creator God, and that he is the greatest source of truth and power and knowledge. He's the greatest source. He's a much greater source than Lucifer. But the offspring of Adam, we have done a very poor job of taking dominion. As God had told Adam and Eve, he says, "You are easy, I want you to take dominion of planet Earth." We just haven't done that, and we have to recognize that, you know, we've not taken dominion as we should have. And that has left a lot of room for Lucifer to expand his kingdoms. And I think that our country was formed to be a Christian nation. And it was formed by people who had a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our Creator. And they tried to set us off on the right track, but you know, I was on a 2-hour conference call the other day talking about some business in the courts and such, and we just haven't performed all that well, to take dominion and such. And in our own country, that started out as a Christian nation, the Declaration of Independence in 1776, the formation of the Articles of Confederation, and the Then in 1787, it was the Constitution for the United States, the Constitutional Convention. and the Bill of Rights was attached in December of 1791, and the history books tell us that by 1795, the legal profession, lawyers, had already gotten control of the U.S. Congress. Apparently, at that time, the failure to discern the fact that Lucifer and his Luciferians out there would be trying their best to change this from a nation under God into a nation under Lucifer. And it just... well, that's something. I've read a lot of history. I've done a lot of research on how our country was formed and all of that. And now I recognize the fact that we just did not treasure, we did not put the value on spiritual things, Christian things like we should have. And we left the playing field to the Luciferians. And, you know, I brought out on that conference call the other day how that we don't go back and recognize what really happened back there at times in history. And, of course, that's been there's been those Luciferians that have tried to tamper with history. But back to 1215 A.D., King John was a tyrant over there in England, and it was a feudal system. In other words, King John had put himself on the top of the pecking order, and the people were, they were peons out there, and they were supposed to be serving the king, and any percentage of their productivity on the land had to go to the king and everything. And that, we dwell on that, but we forget that when the barons came up with the Magna Carta, created that great law, the Great Charter of England, they made war against the king. When they asked him to sign Magna Carta, he said, "No, I'm not going to sign that." They made war against the king and his army, and the barons and their armies won the war, and they fought the King John in the meadow at Runnymede, and they held him on the points of their sword, and they said, "You will sign it, or you will die right here." Well, he signed it, because he knew that they meant business, that he would die right there if he didn't sign it. Anyway, England was part of Catholicism, the world kingdom, pretty much a world kingdom at that time, also the Catholic Church. And the Pope was outraged in Rome when the barons forced the king to sign that. And they said, the Pope said, "King John has a divine right to be king." The Pope was saying, "Well, he's got the divine right to be king of England, and the people are to be at the bottom of the totem pole, and the pecking order," I should have said. Now, we have the same identical situation today. I mean, there just is very little difference, because our churches, false theology, the counterfeit theology that is taught in our churches is that, "Oh, we have to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." And this is preached in great many of the churches in this country just before April 15th. And you've got to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. And I brought out on that conference call, I said, so similar, the thinking and everything. I said, Caesar has been dead so long, he doesn't even stink anymore. I said, the ministers in our pulpits, they should read a little bit more of that passage of Scripture, because it says, render unto Caesar the things that be Caesar's, and unto God the things that be God's. And there you have it, because we as individuals, we have to take a look at the world that we're living in and say, well, my home here, God help me to be able to put this, make this home. And it wasn't Caesar. Caesar didn't have anything to do with it. It was a blessing from my God creator that allowed me to have this home with this good heat. The weather is terrible. It's cold. It's raining. It's been raining for days. We even had a little snow. And it's a blessing that God has given to me rather than government. I haven't got anything that government has given me. Nothing. So why are these ministers in the pulpit saying, hey, you've got to send this money to the God in Washington, D.C.? Because the Bible says you've got to render unto Caesar the things that be Caesar's. Now, does this sound a little bit ridiculous, or that I'm reaching out and grasping at something that it just
your question got cut off there.
What?
I hear you now. I didn't hear you for a moment.
Well, anyway, am I off base, Terry? Dr. Kate, is there a parallel that we have today that's a parallel to what happened in 1215 A.D. in England? I don't think so. And I think that this parallel has come down through the centuries. The history books tell us that between 1215 A.D. and 1776, there were over 40 times that the politicians in the government in London, England, the English government, there's more than 40 times that the kings tried to pick themselves up from the bottom of the pecking order and put themselves back on top, and the people said, no, you are going to stay down there at the bottom, and we're going to stay at the top. And there was no less than 23 times that the English people had to take the sword and subdue their kings to make them come back under the law. And so it's a continual thing that goes on, this war between the light side and the dark side, if you want to call it that. There's a war going on between a false god, Lucifer, and the true God, our Heavenly Father. And so Terry, I better let you take over here again before I get rambling off someplace else.
Well, I'm going to let Kate have a shot here, and I'll come in after Kate.
Well, I think you're talking about exactly what we're seeing right now. I mean, I apologize. I was in the middle of communicating with BTR about that sound. Can you hear me?
Yes. It comes up when there's a pop-up that comes up, and there's a video ad in the pop-up. And when I close it out, there's no sound, and then a few minutes later, it pops back up, and then I hear it again. Here, it just popped up again.
Okay. Okay.
So that's what's causing the interference. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. You know, we've got an idea of what this image thing is all about, because the perfect image of God in our in the likeness of God is Christ Himself. Because mm-hmm. you know the Bible talks about the Father in heaven being invisible to us, but Christ was not invisible to us. He was a physical body manifestation of God. And, you know, we can look to his example. What did he put up with? What did he not put up with? You know, he faced the same temptation that these people who consider themselves elite have faced. You know, he knew that Lucifer, that what he was offering in that temptation of ruling the world was on a spiritual level an illusion. And he turned that down cold because he recognized that really only God could sustain us eternally. Only God is good. Yet these people have bought into this thinking that Lucifer can somehow sustain them or their bloodline. And the truth of the matter is that only God can sustain us. And here we are being totally caught up in the propaganda and the world and the control and the judicial system and the education system that these people have designed to remove God from the top of the pecking order. So what do we have to do about that? I mean, isn't that the long and the short of this? If we're created in his image, do we not have an obligation to do something about this? To put a stop to it? To say, you know, I'm not going there? You're not. I mean, that's what Red's talking about as far as April the 15th and paying the tithe to the false gods. These people are consumers. They're not sustainers. I mean, the whole idea of sustainability is a cruel joke, because they're not trying to sustain anything. They're trying to consume our production. They're trying to consume our sovereignty that was delegated to us by our Father in heaven. And yet we still stand by and we still pay homage to them. We're making them other gods, and they have no right to that. They have no authority to that. Kate, you know, what's your follow up to that?
Well, I agree with you. That's what are we to do? I mean, it kind of. We do, in my view, yes, we have an obligation, and that is just as Scripture said, you know, we have an obligation to warn people, or the blood, if we fail to warn people, the blood is on our hands in terms of sin and evil and the things that are in this world right now and who controls it. So yes, but here we are, right here, in this Satan-controlled world.
Let me ask you this question. I'd like to bring it down to a personal level. How has this very thing that we're talking about impacted you this week? How have you stirred it up? And now, what kind of things are they doing to defeat the truth that you're bringing forward?
Well, I've started up by just not being afraid to tell the truth about things, and to call out what is going on, and to do so with, you know, the all that stuff that the Lord gave me in terms of my abilities and skills and so forth. And it has made a difference, a significant difference, and the attack is on. And it's, you know, it's about ruining credibility. It's, you know, the attack is on. And I notice with interest that the attack is never about the substantive things that you raise, where they are, for example, not being creative. They're being destructive. And just when we first heard about this topic last week, for me, this whole week was being able to see whose side people are on in this particular issue. And the way they're responding is predictable, and there's something else behind the scenes. They don't know what it is, but they're working very hard to undermine, in particular, my credibility. And so what that then tells me is, first of all, stick with the truth. And that's what they're mad about. Like I say, they're not willing to take me on any points that I've raised. They just, you know, think that I don't have enough experience or shouldn't be saying anything, or I'm associated with just a community group. So, anyway, where was I? So I'm.
Let me put the same question to
you. Wait, I just wanted to say. I just wanted to say a couple of things. So, in preparing for a certain meeting, I was writing up some things, and I put a lot of things in this document that I was putting together. And one piece of it I had taken from other documents, and you know, it's a good argument, and so I thought it fit with you know, with permission and stuff to take stuff, but I thought it fit well with our arguments. So my mind was drawn to, and this is why I'm saying this kind of thinking helped me this week, my mind was drawn to the, you know, the to David and Goliath, to David in particular. And if you know that story, you know that before David picked up the rocks, he basically put on all this armor. He was given this armor to put on, and it was somebody else's armor. And he took it off because he said, wasn't my armor. I didn't earn it. And then he picked up the stones, the four stones, and did the deed. Remember, there are three stones left, you know, so there are a lot of Goliaths that need to be brought down. But what it was about, what it got me to think about practically, was what armor are we putting on? And also, in thinking as we move forward, as they're trying to attack us right now, putting on the whole armor of God. And what is that? I mean, there are lots of aspects of that, but one of those pieces of armor is discernment. And clarity, but that discernment, especially, and where does that come from? That comes from the basis that we've talked about. So everything from being able to see, to discern, to see whether a group is being productive and creative, or they're just being completely destructive, is a very clear screen. And then to see how their tactics come out is another very clear view. How do destructive people destroy you? They destroy you. They try to go after various things. And then thirdly, how do we move forward? Like I say, it wasn't the specific ideas that came to me first. It was, put on the full armor of God first, and then we'll see what tools come our way. And we look, we discern as far as whether some tools will work or not. So I feel like this topic can be very broad as we discuss all the elements of it. And I also feel like it came right home to me, and certainly helped me this week and so forth. Now, am I in the perfect likeness of, we were made in the likeness of God. Am I saying that I am? No. I mean, I'm a part of the sin and everything else that we have. But when you carry that knowledge of being in His likeness and image, then it truly is the only way you can move forward, in my view, and move forward with discernment and not be swayed or tempted or taken off the path that God has laid out for you. So, sorry, that was a long, just one more. Let me say one more thing. Sorry.
Well, it was very good because it was personal to you. I think so often here we can talk about third parties sometimes, and that can become a bore for the listener. And I personally am never bored when I hear an individual speaking about their own personal experience and sharing something of value like that. And, Red, I want to ask you to do the same thing. Relate this topic to your own life and some of the struggles you fought and how your acknowledgement of your Creator and the image and this has impacted you personally.
I was glad that you put Dr. Kate on the spot, because I've been wondering for a week or so here what's going on up there in my favorite state of Montana. And I'm sure a lot of the audience out there don't realize that Dr. Kate is up there in Montana, and she's involved in a very, very tough battle between some very evil forces up there that are very destructive, as she said. And I'm just so glad she's there, because I can't be there. And I'll tell you, I think that in my own, battle, I mentioned it to somebody here the other day, how that I had my first go-around with the Internal Revenue Service in 1957. And, that's over 50 years ago, and it doesn't seem like that far back. But I won that round. It didn't take too long because they were totally out of line, and they didn't exert the power at that point in time that they do today. Then, of course, I had to quit my logging business because of my health, and I worked as an operating engineer on one of the big dams, Yellowtail Dam, up there in Montana. And I got into another dispute with the Internal Revenue Service because they did not want me to deduct my away-from-home living expenses because I was quite a ways from home and my family and all. And the battle went on for 2 years, and it was kind of crazy because I really, at that point in time, had no questions in my mind. We had a family of four children, and my wife had a full plate to keep track of them four. And it was, I never dreamt. I never even had any kind of a dream of any kind that I would end up doing some of the things that I have done over these intervening years. Conflict, the controversy from 61 wasn't finalized until 63, when I had an interview with a gentleman who I didn't meet him in the IRS office in Billings, Montana. He was at the Holiday Inn, and I was the wife and I were to meet him there. And they owed me a refund of $450 or so thereabouts. And you know, the wife and I went in there, and this guy, he told us how important he was, how the high position he had with the Internal Revenue Service. He had come up from Salt Lake to take care of a couple of cases like mine, apparently. And my wife, I had rescued her from a North Dakota farm, because I was looking for that was my idea of a first-class kind of gal, and she has proven that. Of course, the wife and I have had our 60th anniversary now this past year, and so it's been a very good a very good thing for me. And she was with me, and you think of some farmer's daughter from North Dakota as being probably rather naive. But, you know, we were talking to this guy, and it came through loud and clear that if I were to slip a $100 bill under the table, they owed me 400 and something. He impressed me very strongly with the fact that he had the power to settle this controversy. He was in a position where he had the power to settle this controversy. And it was it was subtle, but if I had offered him a cash bribe under the table, he would settle the dispute and that I would get the refund that I had deserved. My wife understood. She caught this. I caught it. It just came through loud and clear, and to this day I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit gave us the wisdom to understand what was happening. And of course, I became very angry. I was very upset, and I said many a time that I wished to goodness I'd have pounded his head on every brick in the place. But I didn't. But I got the full refund. I knew that the guy was evil. I was a Christian at that point. She was a Christian, and our Heavenly Father was looking out for us. He was there, and we had. Well, I'm reminded of the scripture where Christ, before he ascended into heaven, he told the apostles and says, he said, you're going to be called before the magistrates. You're going to be called before them. And he said, I'm just giving you not the words of the scripture, but he basically told them, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't get all concerned and everything about what you're going to say, because when you're called before the magistrates, I'll give you the words. I'll give you the words. And I have run into those kind of situations so many times over the years where I just knew without a doubt in my mind that I had a divine inspiration in how to speak and how to, answer the problem. Some outside help come in and give me the clues and what I needed to say. I've seen it and I've felt it. I've known. There's been times on this radio thing that we've had over that I've been on for the last couple of years, I guess now. And I know that I've had, there's been times when I have been given some inspiration that I needed to, you know, to put out the kind of information that God would have me to do, where I become a voice that he can use. And so it's a great experience. To experience when the books that I have been able to publish, and you know, I don't know how many times there's been as I was you know, really trying to get ideas and thoughts on paper, I needed help, and the help came, and when I needed it, and I knew that I had been given divine inspiration, and so it's I'm saying this because from what Dr. Kate has said here, she is going to need this divine intervention and inspiration. Because she is, she's on the light side, and there's a bunch of bureaucrats and schemers and scoundrels up there in Montana that are trying to steal the water of the people in western Montana. And they're evil men. I can tell you that. I know, because this battle, water battle, was going on when I was still moving around Montana. You know, as long as 15, 20 years ago, and the battle was already starting then. But now they are coming out, and they're trying to finalize their theft. And I was so glad that Dr. Kate went up there to Montana to help my friends up there, because I do have a lot of friends up there yet, and. He's running into some of my tracks up there, too, by the way, I think. And so I've left some footprints there. And so anyway, I have to give my Heavenly Father the credit, because he has been, he has protected me so many times. They tried to set me up in Great Falls, Montana, one time. And at that time in 1981, I had to travel with I called them a bodyguard, but I didn't dare travel by myself. I had to have somebody with me all the time. And the scoundrels, the schemers, they didn't know that I had somebody with me that night at that Holiday Inn. And there was a knock on the door, and my friend went to the door, and he was kind of an old timer and knew the tricks. And when he opened that door, he had his foot behind the door. And I wouldn't have been smart enough to do that. I'd open the door, see who was knocking on the door, but he didn't. And there was a trap that they had set for me. And my friend was not near as tall as I am, and he was bald-headed, and he wasn't what that gal was looking for. And so she got all flustered and took off, and my friend looked around the corner after she was gone. And he looked around the corner, and there were two fellows leaning up against the building with their cameras and such, and they had a trap set for me. But my Heavenly Father, he sees it all. He knows what's going on. He had some work for me to do, and he recognized how evil these people are. And so I'm telling a story here that I probably shouldn't have told, but I'm telling it. And so, you know, we have to be very dependent upon our Heavenly Father to be there And when we need assistance, when we need help, he's there. He's going to be there if we have asked him for his help and his guidance, and he'll be there. And I just, I don't know how to encourage Dr. Kate any more than I'm saying, but, you know, we're going to see a good report coming out of there like we have seen from the Klamath River programs that we had, where the environmentalists and such wanted to blow the four dams on the Klamath River. And it was all part of Agenda 21. And I think that that has been stopped because we were able to bring out some truth. And these scoundrels, their tools are not truth. They don't use truth as a tool. They use the false science, the phony science. They lose. I mean, they use anything that's phony, and they try to use it to their advantage. And so we have to be alert and watch. I better shut up here because we're going to run out of time. I'm going back to you, Terry.
We've got about 8 minutes left, and I really appreciate your personal testimony, Red. If I started talking about my personal testimony related to this particular situation, we could be here for another hour or two. And what I will say is that I've experienced some of those same situations where I really didn't know what I was going to say, but I prayed and trusted in God to have His Spirit speak through me. And on those occasions, I guess I've said some of the best things I've ever said. And in some cases, I hardly even remember what I said, but people sure were impressed with what came out of my mouth. And, you know, it's like I told one of my guys today, my contractors, when one of his guys that work for him says, you know, that guy's not too bad to work for. And, you know, he's one of the few general contractors or construction manager that, you know, actually listens to you. And more intelligent when I'm listening rather than talking. And he got a chuckle out of that. But that's kind of the way it is when you're dealing with God. You know, people think prayer is them talking to God. And to me, the best part of prayer is when I can manage to shut up and listen to him, because he's a lot smarter than I am. And I think that's a part of being created in His image, is that He's put that a God-shaped vacuum inside of us that gives every human being a desire to fill that vacuum. And if we're aware of His, you know, if we have awareness of Him as our Creator and as being the one that is good that will sustain us, then we recognize that only His Spirit can fill that vacuum. And so many people walk through life looking for ways to fill that vacuum in all the wrong ways. And I just believe that maybe is the very crux of what we're talking about tonight, is figuring out how to fill your God-shaped vacuum that you've got inside you, because I think that's a part of being created in His image. He put a place in us that has a desire to be filled only by our Father in heaven. And if the people that don't figure that out are filled with all kinds of spirits, and if they don't have that guidance, they're not going to have the discernment. And I really think that's what I'm calling out to people to do, and that is to recognize that you have a God-shaped vacuum inside you, and that only He can fill it. If you don't seek His face, if you don't seek His Spirit, if you don't seek a relationship with the visible manifestation of God that we were given in His Son Christ, if you don't seek that, then you're going to be left lost, and you're not going to have any kind of victory that carries any weight or any real value in this life or after this life. Kate, would you like to wrap us up here in the last 4 minutes we got left?
Well, it's kind of hard to follow you, Terry. but maybe this will like leave us on a good, you know, this has been a great show, and about appreciating the beauty. Today, I was treated to seeing four eagles, the parents and apparently the babies. But, you know, the baby eagles are really bigger than the parents. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they're very big. And it was almost like a symphony with all other kinds of birds accompanying them and so forth. But one of the eagles, the adult eagles, ended up getting either a bird or a fish out of the lake and then brought it right down to this beach and basically started tearing it apart and showing how to eat it. And then the other eagle who was standing guard would, it seems like, flap its wings and the babies would approach the eagle that was eating the bird, eating the food, and that eagle would fly up and show how to keep people away, or, you know, show how to keep others away who would eat the prey. And then the other eagle again was standing guard, so it was standing in the water and flying around and landing on different branches, and other birds were doing so as well. And, you know, to me, that it was just, of course, my camera's sitting right here and I don't use it, right? So, because I was so engrossed in the moment, and this is not idol worship, this is just the beauty of creation and the, you know, the gathering of eagles. We've heard that in different concepts and so forth. And just the lessons that we must learn and must carry forward. And in that simplicity, we are created in his image and his likeness. And so I'm just ending with that story. For some reason it came to me, and it was a gift today to see that, just gorgeous birds. And, you know, like I say, not idol worship, but worshiping creation, the beauty that's been given us in the simple things. So I'll end with that, Terry. Thank you.
Red, I opened us in prayer, which I think you missed, but would you close us in prayer?
I would be privileged. I think our program tonight went very quickly, and I like that when we have an interesting program, that it just seems like 2 hours went very, very quickly. And so I thank the good Lord, and I'm going to say a prayer here, and we'll hope that what we had to say tonight had some value to our audience out there, and hopefully someone is profiting, making headway in their Christian experience by what has been said here tonight. So with that, I'll ask the good Lord to bless what has been said, and we'll anticipate more good programs in the future, I hope. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee because You do. You do approve of it when we talk about You, and when we try to understand what You would try to be getting across to us in our minds and our lives, so that we can be in Your likeness, so we can function in Your likeness, so that the people around us, when they have occasion to experiment or experience our presence, that they would recognize that we have we have a king. We have a Messiah king that is coming back, and we have this anticipation of when he's going to be back, and we want to be working, and we want to be doing his work when he comes. And we just pray that you would help us now throughout the coming week. And if you have something special that you want us to bring out, make it clear to us, and we'll try our best to do what you would have us to do. And we just feel that you have helped us tonight, and we just thank you for it, because we in ourselves are not capable of putting out the kind of programs that will feed people's soul with spiritual food. We thank thee now because we can call on you and we can come to you when we need you, and we just thank you for that. We thank you for your power that you can, give us that power. You've got that power, and you give it to all men liberally as they need it, and I just thank you for it. And we just love you so much, and we thank you for everything. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Red. Thank you, Dr. Kate. Thanks you, all of our listeners, for joining us tonight. We'll see you next week for Walls in Our Minds.
And Merry Christmas.
Happy Holiday.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Christmases